So I'd like to welcome you to the first day of our seminar on Srimad Bhagavatam at a glance, overview of the full Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's based on this book, Srimad Bhagavatam at a glance. So whatever pictures you're seeing here are in this book here. And the first picture is the form of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. And we have each of these lotuses is a canto. So this is a poster in the book. And each of these cantos has sections. So we'll be seeing all the sections today of the first six cantos. Here is the first and second. They are his lotus feet. The third and fourth are his legs. Fifth canto is his waist. Sixth is his chest. Seven and eight are his arms. And up on top we have nine. Nine is his neck. 10 is his smiling face. 11 is his forehead. And 12 is his full head. So there we have the outline of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And today we will do the first six cantos, and tomorrow we will go to the last six cantos, from 7 to 12. So what we see here now is the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are four sections, Narada and Vyas, Krishna in Hastinapur and Dwarka, Parikshit born and Pandavas renounce, and then here is Parikshit. So the first section, each of these petals is a chapter in the canto. So this is the whole first canto in one picture. And we're going to learn some lessons from these pictures. And after the end of each picture, I will ask you, what lesson did you learn? So here we have the first three chapters are the sages of Brahmacharya and Sutta Goswami speaking. And the first lesson we learn is, what is the qualification to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Qualification to hear is that we are not envious, we are attentive, and we are submissive. And what happens if we hear like this? We will capture Krishna in our heart. So Srimad Bhagavatam begins where Bhagavad Gita leaves off. So Bhagavad Gita at the end says, Sarva Dharmam Prityaja, Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Give up all varieties of religion and surrender to me. Bhagavatam begins with that. It's Dharma Prachita Kaita Vacha. All cheating religions are rejected from this Srimad Bhagavatam. So, here we go. The theme of the whole Bhagavatam is also here in chapter 3, the emperor verse, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have the sages' suttas telling the story of Vyasadeva. Here he is writing his books. I'll read from this book, chapter 4. In the beginning of Kali Yuga, Vyasadeva foresaw the world's dark future. Thus, he recorded the Vedas and Upanishads. Then he himself wrote Mahabharata and Vedanta Sutra. Despite his great literary achievements, however, he remained dissatisfied. So, here he is. He's unhappy. And there is a lesson here that wherever Krishna is not present, everything is inauspicious. And wherever Krishna is present, everything is auspicious. And this we hear also in chapter 5, when Narada approaches Vyasadeva, and he asks, what's your problem? And Vyasadeva says, you know better, you're my guru, you tell me. And Narada said, you have not glorified Krishna sufficiently. This is your problem. And Prabhupada, in one lecture, he was talking about the materialistic literature is like a place of pilgrimage for crows. And he said, Vedanta Sutta is one of those. Also, Prabhupada was really heavy. Vedanta Sutta is also in this category because it doesn't directly describe Krishna. So, that was the second lesson about Krishna is all auspicious. Without his presence, everything is inauspicious. So, Krishna in Hastinapur and Dwarka is the middle section here. And here in chapter 7, we see Vyasadeva in meditation on Krishna. And then the Bhagavatam begins with Krishna driving Arjuna's chariot. So here is another connection between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is spoken at the beginning of the battle of Kurukshetra, and Bhagavatam is at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. And that's another connection between Gita and Bhagavatam here in chapter 7. How does Krishna first appear in Srimad Bhagavatam? Driving Arjuna's chariot at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra. So then, now we see Kunti. She comes, actually Krishna came to take the dust of her lotus feet before he went on his journey. You're supposed to ask blessings from your superior before you go on a trip. But is she going to give blessings? No. No, she's not going to give blessings. She said, don't go. And that's very inauspicious if you're going on a trip. You should not say, don't go. So that's what she said to Krishna, don't go. So he didn't go. He didn't go right away. So she's praying the same thing. Theme comes here. Now everything you are here, everything is auspicious by your glands. And if you leave, our whole kingdom will become inauspicious. So then Bhishma Dev, he also prays to see Krishna at the time of death. And Krishna comes there and so he supplies his desire. He fulfills his desire. Now in chapter 10, we see now Krishna is leaving. And I will read chapter 10. As Krishna leaves Hastinapur, the ladies cry, and all the residents, especially the Pandavas, lament in separation from him, their only shelter. So Krishna's, in this middle section, he's showing his relationships with his devotees, with Arjuna, his Sakya, friendship, with Kunti, it's Vatsalya, or parental, and Bhisha, it's chivalrous. And with all the residents, there's Dasya, residents of Hastinapur. So now Krishna is leaving, everything's becoming inauspicious, and now he's coming to Dwarka and everybody's happy. Everything's becoming auspicious. So then the next section is about Parikshit born. He's born in chapter 12. And then the Pandavas renounce also. That will be a little bit later. First, Dhritarashtra is there. Vidura comes back from his pilgrimage and he preaches to Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra leaves home. Arjuna goes to Dwarka to hear about what's Krishna's next plan. Before he comes back, Yudhisthira and Bhima see so many inauspicious omens. Again, the same theme. Why all these inauspicious omens? Arjuna comes back and he says, it's all because Krishna has left the planet. My power, my astonishing power has left me. So Yudhisthira immediately, he leaves, he puts Yudhisthira, Parikshit is grown up, he puts him on the throne, and he and all the Pandavas, they leave home. So next section is Parikshit born and, oh, just Parikshit, yeah. It's a story of Parikshit. And Kali enters the moment, the day that Krishna leaves. And Parikshit confronts Kali. And Kali gets some benediction. He doesn't kill him. He lets him live. Why does he let Kali live? Because he sees there are some good things in Kali Yuga. One good thing is that, of course, Panchatattva is there, and they are coming. Another good thing in Kali Yuga is if you think something bad, then you won't get the reaction. But if you think something good, then you will get the reaction. You will get the benefit of thinking something good. So all these New Age philosophies have some truth in them, that is, positive thinking is helpful. Very helpful. You will get the good benefit of thinking positive, doing something good. Okay. So, there was one more lesson here in this section, which I forgot to tell you, that when Arjuna was feeling loss, his loss of Krishna, then he remembered the instructions of Bhagavad Gita that Krishna told him, and then he felt solace. So when you're feeling separation, when you're feeling difficulty, remember Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, and that is the next lesson in this canto. So we had a few lessons already. Now, here, Parikshit is hungry, thirsty. He comes to Samika's ashram, and he's not greeted, and he puts a dead snake around the sage's neck. His son comes, and he curses Parikshit to die in 7 days. So Parikshit asks Shukadev, what should I do? What is my duty now that I'm about to die? What should I chant, remember, and do at this point in my life? So now, we had some lessons in this canto, in the first canto. There are many more lessons, but we don't have time for all the lessons. Each verse has a lesson. But when I teach the first canto by itself, then you can hear more of the lessons. So does anybody remember one of the lessons that we had in this picture? Just one of the yes. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Why? Auspicious. Good. Okay, any, yes?
The qualification to study.
Hear Bhagavatam.
Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. First one is to be submissive.
Submissive.
Hear attentively.
Free of envy. This is a qualification to hear Bhagavatam. Okay. There was one more lesson, if anybody remembers. What happens if you're feeling separation from Krishna? Yes, remember his instructions in Bhagavad Gita. That's what Arjuna did here in first canto. Okay, now we're in second canto. There's only 3 sections. It's a small canto. And the first section is yoga processes. We have Jnana Yoga in the first chapter, Brahman. And we have Paramatma here. We have Mystic Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. The second chapter, and the third chapter we have bhakti, pure devotional service. So the first chapter is mercy for the impersonalists who want to merge. And if they want to be successful, they have to meditate on the universal form. So the universal form is described in the first chapter. Mercy for the impersonalists. In the second chapter, meditation on Vishnu is described. And Paramatma realization is the theme here. And the third chapter is about devotional service. So there is a verse, a person who has broader intelligence, if you're full of material desire, without material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship Supreme Hollow Personality of Godhead. So that is the lesson here, that even if you have so many material desires, you should worship the Supreme Lord Krishna. Or if you want liberation, or if you want to merge, yes, or if you want to be a pure devotee, worship Krishna. So, and that's the lesson for this section here, that by all means worship Krishna. Now here is the universal form. This is the title of this chapter, and it does appear in the sixth chapter of this section here, universal form. And so the first chapter 4, Shukadeva is praying for empowerment so he may speak Bhagavatam. And this is the lesson we learn from this section, that before you do anything, before you speak, before you eat, pray for empowerment from Krishna. Always seek permission of the Lord before you eat or act or speak. And then you get the blessings. You get the blessings. So we must, this is the second lesson here. Before you do anything, pray for empowerment. You can offer everything before you do it also. That's a nice habit to get into. So that's a good habit. Before you study Bhagavatam, pray. And here we have Narada is asking Brahma, it seems like, you know, you look like you're the Supreme Lord, you're creating universe, but I have some doubts because you're also meditating on somebody to get power. And so he said, yes, you're right. Narayan is the actual source and creator. And in chapter 6, we have the universal form. At the beginning of creation, there's Lord Brahma with penance and the sages who create children. Then in the middle, there's Vishnu and the demigods and the kings who maintain the universe. At the end, there's Lord Shiva. And they're all manifestations of the energy of Krishna. And then the last section, last chapter here in this section is the Leela avatars, all the different avatars, Varaha, Kurma, Nrisimha, Ram. So all the avatars are described here, Vamanadeva, Matsya, Parashuram, Buddha. Krishna and Balaram are also here, they're in Dashavatar, but we heard in first canto that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then the last section, Parikshit asks questions here about the creation, about the universe. And in chapter 9, we get the four seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence of Bhagavatam, which describes Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan, relationship with Krishna, acting in that relationship, and the goal of life, love of Godhead. Then in the 10th, chapter, we get the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the first 9 are depending on the 10th subject, which is Krishna, the shelter of everything. So what lessons did we learn in this chapter? Yeah. Canto. Always seek blessings before you do anything. Okay. Yes. Okay, even impersonalists need the mercy. Okay. Good. I think there was one more. Oh, and there's a lesson I forgot to tell you. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. That's a good lesson. Good lesson to know. Yes. Okay. Oh, there is one more lesson. Yes, yes, yes. There is one more lesson. And that is, yes?
Whatever you want,
worship Krishna. Yes, worship Krishna. Good. And there's one more which I forgot, but it's not too late. And that is that by rising and setting, the sun takes away duration of life of everyone except one who hears the glories of the Lord. So if you want to be free from death, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam if you want to overcome death. So that's in the 3rd chapter. So what was the last lesson I told you before? There was one last one about Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we heard two about Bhagavatam. Yes?
Srimad Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions.
Yes, Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. That's the title of the last chapter. Now here we see the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. First is Sarga, creation. Second is Visarga, sub-creation. And the third is Stana, maintenance. Fourth is Poshana, protection. For devotees here we have Gajendra being protected by Lord Vishnu. Bhuti, the creative impetus of karma. What is the cause? What is one of the causes for creation? Manvantara, the reins of the Manus. We'll hear more about that in 8th canto, about all the Manus, but it starts right from 3rd canto. Ishanukata, the science of God. Nirodha, annihilation. Mukti, liberation. And Ashaya, samambon, or the shelter of all the other 9 categories, is Krishna, the Ashaya. All the rest are called Ashita. Or where they need to take shelter of Ashaya. They're dependent on Ashaya. And so that is the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now we go to 3rd canto, part 1. And the first section is called Krishna Lila. And here Vidura is getting kicked out of the palace. But he's not upset. At first he feels a little bit upset by the painful words of Duryodhana, but then he thanks Krishna. He thanks Duryodhana. Oh yes, now I'm out of palace politics. Now I will go on pilgrimage and do pure devotional service. So he's actually, it was a blessing in disguise to get kicked out of the palace. So when difficult things happen in your life, see the hand of Krishna. Try to find the positive reasons why these things are happening. Here we have the second chapter is Krishna Lila, and we have a very famous verse about Putana. She came to kill Krishna, but Krishna gave her the position of mother. So Krishna does not see the bad things in us. He takes out the good. He takes out the good. And third chapter is about Dwarka Lila. Here's Krishna kidnapping Rukmini. And the fourth chapter is about Krishna leaving the planet. And Uddhava is there and Maitreya is there to see, but he's favoring Uddhava. So the Krishna now spoke Chatushloki Bhagavatam to Uddhava, but with more confidential knowledge than when he spoke it to Brahma. And one thing we learn here from this purport of chapter 4, that Uddhava is the symbol, he's the symbol of the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. He's a living example of the four seed verses of Bhagavatam. And the lesson we learn from Prabhupada says, unless one is awakened to the stage of Uddhava, always feeling separation of the Lord, one cannot understand the four seed verses of Bhagavatam. So he must be feeling separation from Krishna in order to understand Bhagavatam. So this is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. You have Lord Chaitanya here, Panchatattva, and you can understand Srimad Bhagavatam more easily here because you have their help and following the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that's the lesson there. Unless you feel this separation from Krishna, it's difficult to understand the four seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I will read chapter 4 of Canto 3. Jai Panchatattva Ki Jai. After Krishna leaves Dwarka, Uddhava follows him. He sees Krishna sitting beneath a banyan tree, preparing to leave this world. The Lord instructs Uddhava and Maitreya in transcendental knowledge. Krishna sends Uddhava to Bhadari Kashram with a message and asks him to preach to the devotees there. So that was this picture here. Now we go to creation, the middle section here. Vidura meets Maitreya and asks questions. And in chapter 5 we hear about Sarga, or creation. And we hear about what is the purpose of creation. It describes how Vishnu was feeling compassion for all living beings who are sleeping with Maya. And he wanted to wake us up and have us enjoy with him. So that's the purpose of creation, so that the sleeping souls wake up and do devotional service and go back to Godhead. That's the purpose. So here is, again, questions by Vidura. Chapter 8, Brahma is born, and he's completely bewildered. And so then he hears the words tapa, he goes to, and he meditates. And then after his meditation for many, many years, he sees Vishnu in his heart. And he prays. And what do we learn from his prayers? There's one very important prayer by Brahma in this section. Of course, all the prayers are important, but one is for our benefit. We can learn a lesson from it. What does he pray for? What is the benediction he prays for? Protection from fall down due to pride or deviation. So that is his prayer. His prayer to Brahma. So that's the lesson. We should pray for protection from fall down due to pride or deviation. So here the creation begins, and of course there is a time, which is Suryadev, is described here in chapter 11, and then the birth of Lord Shiva, and the four Kumaras are born, and they don't listen to Brahma, as some children don't. And he's angry, and out from his two eyes, between his two eyes comes Lord Shiva. Oops. Okay, it's not going this way. Right, I did the wrong button. Okay, so here we have Raha Rupa. Appears in this chapter since the earth fell down into the ocean of Garbhadak. And one lesson we learn from Varaha is that any form of the Lord is transcendental. So this is preparation for us to come to 10th canto, where all the forms come into Krishna's body. And even though Krishna is so small, he can lift Govardhan Hill. He doesn't have to expand like Varaha expands. He can do anything. So we won't be surprised. So then the cursing of Jayan Vijay, and here Varaha is lifting up the earth. I'll read this chapter 18. Before fighting with Hiranyaksha, Lord Varaha rescued the earth from the depths of the ocean. Okay, so now we go to the second part of Canto. Oops, we forgot about our lessons. Let's go back. Let's not go there yet. What lessons do we learn from this canto here?
One should pray to be protected from the fall down, which is due to pride and deviation.
Good. Prayer for protection from fall down. And another lesson we learn here. Yes?
Try to see the positive.
Very good. See the positive. Like Krishna saw, Krishna looks at us. When he looks at us, he sees both, but he only takes out the positive. He accepts the positive and he rejects the negative. He doesn't see it. You may see it, but it doesn't matter. Okay, another lesson. Yeah. All the Lord's forms are transcendental. Good, good, good. Okay. So let's go to Canto 3, Part 2. Here we have two sections, Kardama and Devahuti. This is the first section here. So Kardama, first there's a review of creation, and then we hear of Kardama, who wants to have children, so he's praying for a wife, because without a wife you can't have children. And then 22, here we have Sayambhuvamanu bringing his daughter Devahuti to Kardama. And one thing, there's one lesson we can learn, they converse with each other and they praise each other. He's a Kshatriya, and Sayambhuvamanu is a Kshatriya, and Kardama Muni is a Brahmana, and they're just glorifying each other. So what we learn is that Varnashram is a culture of respect. That's the first lesson here. And we go, then he gave a flying palace to Devahuti after all the austerity she did. And here we have Kapila, her son. And she asks, she prays for bhakti, for devotional service, for knowledge of devotional service. And here we have the creation again, and then going beyond the creation, doing devotional service, going back to Godhead. Meditation of the yogis on the lotus feet of Krishna. And then here we have, again, pure devotional service, and devotional service in the modes of passion, goodness, and ignorance as well. Here we have what happens to the non-devotees, the time of death. Again, born in the womb and very difficult time living in the womb. And then different sacrifices described. And finally, Harinam Sankirtan. And so the lesson of this canto is the essence of everything is Harinam, chanting Hare Krishna. Because Devahuti heard this very complicated philosophy of Sankhya and Yoga. And her conclusion was, if one simply chants the holy name of Krishna, he's already done everything. Gone to pilgrimages, sacrifices, penances, he's done everything if he's simply chanting the holy name. So that's the lesson, second lesson we learn here. And what was the first lesson? Yes? Varnashram's culture of respect. And second lesson? Harinam Sankirtan is the essence. Good, good. You have learned very nicely. Very good. Okay, we go to Canto 4, Part 1. Very interesting canto. The first two parts, we have Daksha's sacrifice and Dhruva Maharaj. So, now, in third canto, we learned what is devotional service in the modes of nature and also pure devotional service. And in this canto, we're going to have examples of each one of these. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you a verse from third canto describing devotional service in the modes. And I want you to give me the answer. You have a choice of four devotees from this canto. We have Daksha, we have Dhruva, we have Prithu, and we have Lord Shiva. Four devotees who are in this fourth canto. So I'm going to read you the description of devotional service. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Which one of these four? Daksha. Yes. Please don't accept any offense, but actually, okay. So here is worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, opulence, is devotion in the mode of passion. Dhruva, he wanted opulence. And he was a separatist. He was out to get revenge against his stepmother. He actually got revenge, but when it was time to get revenge, he didn't want to do revenge. It's like everything changed. His brother, he was envious of his brother who could sit on the lap of his father. But then he lost that envy and he even fought with the yakshas. We'll see that here when we get to Dhruva. Okay. Let's see. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the results of his activities to free himself from the reactions, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. So who taught that?
Prithu,
yes. And unadulterated devotional service is shown when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the name and qualities of the Lord. So who was that?
Shiva.
Shiva, yeah. Good. So, we're going to learn some lessons here in this first part here. Daksha sacrifice. Here's Daksha cursing Lord Shiva. Sati wants to go to the sacrifice. Shiva says, don't go. And she should have listened. She should have listened to him because she ends up burning herself there. And then a demon is sent to behead Daksha and destroy the sacrifice. Then they go to pacify Lord Shiva. So one thing, I think I discussed this yesterday's class, is a lesson we learn here is don't judge devotees from appearance. Daksha looked like the best devotee. He was effulgent. When he walked in the assembly, he was well dressed. He had a good high position. Prajapati. Very high position. But he was in the mode of ignorance. Devotional service. And Lord Shiva, he was in the crematorium with the ashes, with the skulls. But he was a pure devotee. But don't imitate Lord Shiva. just because he did that doesn't mean you should do that and be a pure devotee. And smoke ganja, marijuana. We should be careful. Don't imitate Lord Shiva. He could do that. So we should not judge from appearances. That's the first lesson we learn here. And then we go to Dhruva Maharaj. I'll read chapter 8. Dhruva Maharaj. Young Dhruva, insulted by his stepmother, leaves his palace for the forest to search out Lord Vishnu. Desiring a kingdom greater than that of his father, he does austerities to please the Lord. For the first month, he eats fruits and berries every third day. He gradually perfects the pranayama process and closes all the holes of his body. So here Lord Narayan comes to benedict him. One thing we should learn from Dhruva is determination. We're lucky we don't have to do what Dhruva does. We get ice cream every day. Huh? If we had to do what Dhruva would, I think the ashram would be empty if you had to eat dry leaves and a few fruit berries every other day. We don't imitate Dhruva also. We don't do that. So then he in 6 months, he perfects the Astanga Yoga system and he seats Lord Vishnu. And here his brother is killed by the Yakshas and Dhruva is fighting the Yakshas. And he is successful. And then Manu comes to stop him from killing all the Yakshas. And finally he goes back to Godhead along with his mother, who he remembers is Vartma Pradarshana Guru. And so what lessons do we learn in this?
Determination.
And what else did we learn? Yes? Don't judge devotees by their appearance. Yes, you never know who's... Some devotees are going back to Godhead. I just heard I think one lady just left her body. I don't know if it was in Vrindavan. And I think it was in Bombay or Surat. It was in India. And she started shaking, and her husband said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "Oh, I just had a vision. Radharani, Krishna came and he wants me to go with him." And the husband didn't take it. Nobody took it seriously. 2 weeks later, she started shaking, and she said, "Radharani told me Krishna wants to dance with me." And then she left her body. It should be so easy. We have, on the other hand, we have to continue our austerities, eating ice cream every day and going on Harinam. And we will also go. We also go back to Godhead. Termination. Okay, we did have another lesson, I think, here. No, we didn't. Okay. Only determination. Oh, yeah. Oh, actually, I forgot to tell you. Avoid Vaishnava Aparad. That was from the first section with Daksha. Yeah, I thought there was another lesson. Avoid Vaishnava Aparad. Don't make offenses to devotees. Okay, next one is King Prithu and the Prachetas. So Prithu is incarnation. And after Vena dies, his father dies, he's born from the dead body. And he gets angry at the earth because she's not producing, so he milks the earth. Then he tries to do 100 horse sacrifices, Indra steals the horse, but then both of them are reconciled. That's what devotees should do when they have some problem. Of course, Now here he's giving instructions to the citizens to follow Varnashram. And why should they do Varnashram? Because out of love for me, he said, for my better life after this death, you should do it. So that time the king and the subjects had such a wonderful relationship. And what he taught was whatever propensity we have, we can use in devotional service to Krishna. So we learned that Varnashram is not forced, but it's based on love. It's not, you're forced to do something you don't want to do. But out of love for the king, out of love for the guru, you do things. You do your devotional service. So here we have the Prachetas. Lord Shiva is instructing them in prayers to worship Lord Krishna. And the benediction he asks is for association of devotees. And that's, if you read Bhagavatam, that's what everybody asks. Even Dhruva asked that benediction. I want association of devotees. We were reading from Bhagavatam the other day that if you want to, unlimited benediction from Krishna, ask for association of devotees. If you want something unlimited. We want unlimited benediction. We're all mercy cases. We need unlimited benediction. We want unlimited benediction. So pray for association. That's the best thing. So the analogy of Paranjan, city of 9 gates, and here he dies, he becomes a woman. And then Prachana Bahishad, he leaves home after hearing the analogy. Meanwhile, the Prachetas have come out. And let's see what they do. After performing austerities, the Prachetas leave the water and see tall trees have overgrown the earth. When the Prachetas become angry, fire emits from their mouths and burns the trees. So then they are pacified, and the Lord appears to them, and even Narada Muni appears to them. So they are pacified, and they marry the daughter of the trees named Marisha, and Daksha gets his next birth. And he performs austerities for 5 yuga cycles. We heard that in the other class. And then he again starts to procreate and have children. And let's see. I gave you the lessons. So what were the lessons in this chapter, in this canto? Best Benedictinist Association. Anything else? Yeah? Varnashram duties are based on love, not force. That's why the citizens listened to Prithu and did their Varnashram duties. And that's why he asked them, you love me, then do your Varnashram duties. Okay. Let's see if there's anything. I think that was it. Here. Yeah. Okay. So we'll go to Canto 5, Part 1. Lord Rishabhdev appears here. Here we have Priyavrata, who is not satisfied with darkness. So he makes a chariot and goes behind the sun. And where there is darkness, he makes light. So if you live in Sweden or Finland, you can understand what this means. No darkness at night. The sun does not set in summer. In summer. So then we have different stories, and we come to King Rishabhdev. He appears in chapter 4, and he teaches his sons in chapter 5. And the first lesson we learn here is Tapo Divyam. You should do transcendental austerities. Don't waste your time. Do austerity for devotional service, and you will get Brahma Sukhyam, eternal happiness. So that's the first lesson we learn here. And then we go to the story of Maharaj Bharat, who is the oldest son of Rishabhdev, who becomes the emperor of the planet. He worships Suryadev. He leaves home. But then he falls down due to association with a deer. So asat sangha, we should be very attentive in spiritual life. This is the lesson we learn. Be attentive in spiritual life and avoid bad association. Bad association is poisonous. And you can, by bad association, you can leave the association of devotees, just like yesterday we were talking about offending devotees. If you hear offense of devotees, then you can also become contaminated and leave. So don't hear offenses to devotees. So, of course, Bharat Maharaj got the mercy of the Lord, and he became Jada Bharat in the next life. Kali saved him from the dacoits. And then he was carrying the chariot of the palanquin of King Rahugana. And he wasn't doing a good job because of the ants. Yesterday in our procession, there was one little boy, and he was feeding the ants. He was doing prasad distribution to the ants. So sometimes he would get in the way of the procession. But he was also very concerned for the ants. And he would find them, he would dig the hole and give the cookie, the biscuits to the ants. I think he must have been about 8, 9, 10 years old. One little boy I saw yesterday. So this is the same concern Jada Bharat had for the ants. And because of that, the king chastised him, but then he spoke transcendental words. The king surrendered. And here we have the forest of material enjoyment, which is the end of this section, this picture. I'm going to read chapter 14. Shukadev Goswami explains the direct meaning of the story of the forest of material enjoyment. A merchant entering the forest to acquire goods is like the greedy conditioned soul entering this world and chasing the objects of the senses. Like a deer chasing mirages in the desert, the conditioned soul pursues material existence despite disturbances in life and considers this world to be permanent. So, beware the forest of material enjoyment. All right. So, what lessons do we learn in this picture? Yes. Avoid bad association. Yes, the deer was bad association for Dhruva Maharaj. He had no association. That's also a thing to be careful of. Don't be all by yourself. Don't keep yourself all by yourself, or else you might get in trouble. Yes?
One is supposed to protect
We should perform austerities, spiritual tapo divyam, spiritual austerities, to get spiritual happiness. Good. Okay, part 2 of Canto 5. We have the residents. Prayers of the residents of Jambudvip and planetary systems. So, first we have the prayers. But before that we have the descent of the Ganga. I'll read that, chapter 17. The Ganges descends from the causal ocean. Because it washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, it can purify the mind of every living entity by its transcendental touch. So then we have Jambudvip is described, and on different parts of Jambudvip, we have different devotees praying. So we have Hayagriva. Here we have Nrisingadeva. Who's praying to Lord Nrisingadeva in Jambudvip? Prahlad Maharaj. Here we have Pradyumna. Who is praying to Pradyumna? It's Lakshmi. Lakshmi and Pradyumna. Kapiladev, Devahuti, Tortoise, Matsya, I don't know, and Varaha. We do have somebody praying here, who I know. Earth? Did somebody say Earth? Bhumi. Yeah, it's Bhumi. She worships. And here we have Lord Ram, and Hanuman, of course, is worshiping Lord Ram. And they are all living here in Jambudvip, which we're a part of Jambudvip. It's all part. So planetary systems here described, the different islands, and Lord Brahma is on one of the islands. Then here it's the sun god is described. Then all our planets like Venus, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, Sishumara Chakra, and then the lower planetary systems. And here we have Mali Maharaj. Then we have Ananta, Shiva, Lord Shiva worshipping Ananta Sankarshan. And then we have the hellish planets. Chapter 26, I'll read. Shukadev describes how a sinful man goes to different hells where the assistants of Yamaraj punish him. Those who kill and cook animals and birds enter the hell known as Kumbhipaka, where agents of Yamaraj boil them in oil. Don't go there. So, yes, don't be curious about hell. We're hearing everything here. Don't be curious about the lower planets. Everything is here in Bhagavatam. You can read about it all here, and you don't have to go there. And don't do it by experience. Okay, what lesson did we learn here? Did we learn anything? I think. No, we didn't, but you probably did anyway. So, that's good. Now, the whole of Canto 6 is here. Ajamila is the first section. Daksha again appears. Canto 6. Vitasara. And Chitaketu. So that's the canto you're studying now. And it all starts with the question of Pariksha, that, oh, how can we help these people who are in the hellish planets? And the answer is devotional service, only pure devotional service. Shukadeva tries, he tests Pariksha, saying, well, the way they can get free is by atonement. But then Pariksha says, I'm a king, and I do atonement. I punish criminals, and they go back and do it again. So it doesn't work. Then he said, okay, jnana, knowledge. But then the answer to that was that, no, knowledge just cuts off the top surface of the sins, and the roots, the seeds, are still there. So then what can actually cut off the seeds of sinful desires? And that is only by chanting the holy name. And this is the story of Ajamila. And he chants at the time of death. And this is the lesson, always chant Hare Krishna. Now Ajamila, he was chanting Namabhas. He was not chanting pure Hare Krishna. So, Three things he did wrong in his chanting. It wasn't clear because it was time of death. He couldn't chant clearly. He was calling his son instead of Krishna because his son was named Narayan. And the third thing was he was sinful. He was doing sinful activities. But still, he got the blessings. Why? Because he chanted at the time of death. He chanted helplessly. Of course, he didn't go straight back to Godhead. He had to come back and get purified. So you might don't think you'll go straight if you do nonsense the whole life and chant the time of death. It will take some purification. So then Daksha, he's doing austerities here. And now Narada Muni takes away all his sons and he curses Narada Muni. You will not be able to stay in one place more than 3 days. And so again, his fault-finding mentality comes out. Now chapter 6, this is Mother Aditi, and these are her 12 sons, the Adityas. And here is Vishnu coming to Daksha. Yeah, that was before that. Then he goes this way. Right. Okay. So, Vritrasura. Oh, before that I want to read one of the verses, chapter 3. Yamaraj instructs his messengers not to approach the pure devotees of the Lord who have fully surrendered to the Lord's lotus feet. Right. Okay, so now we go to Vritrasura, how Vritrasura is saved. He, Indra kills his guru and he gets the Narayan Kavacha and this comes after him. Oh no, not his guru, that's from Vritrasura. So Vritrasura comes out and he's supposed to be able to kill Indra, but instead Indra kills him because they chanted the mantra wrong. It came out that Indra is going to kill him. Here he's fighting with Indra. And he dies, and Indra gets the reaction. And the last part, Chitraketu, how could such a... And Vritrasura was offering beautiful prayers of prema to the Supreme Lord. So the question came, how come he was a demon, but he was praying like a devotee? So his previous life, he was Chitraketu, who was lamenting the loss of his son. Son came back and spoke, and then he chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He got the darshan of the Lord within a few, I think, was it 6 days or a week, or I can't remember now. Very soon he got darshan of the Lord after chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm going to read chapter 17. One day while flying in his airplane, Chitraketu comes upon Lord Shiva embracing Parvati in an assembly of siddhas, charanas, and sages. Seeing Lord Shiva in that situation, Chitraketu loudly laughs. Parvati becomes very angry at him and curses him. Thus Chitraketu is later born as the demon Vritrasura. So one lesson we learn here is that devotional service is never lost under any circumstance. Even if you become a demon in your next life, you won't forget. So don't give up. Keep on chanting, no matter what condition you're in, and you will get the result. Okay. And what was the other lesson here in this canto? There was another lesson. About Ajamila. Always chant Hare Krishna. Remembering means chanting. Okay, so any other questions? Now we have questions time, yeah. No questions. Yes, you have a question? Is that a question? Yeah, okay, I can't. It's hard to say, you know. When you have your hand on your head on your hand, then it's...
Varnashrama.
Varnashrama.
And the place of Varnashrama in ISKCON.
Place of Varnashrama in ISKCON?
Many sort of schools of thought within ISKCON per se, part promoting Varnashrama, going towards it, and part saying that that's not necessary, we just simply perform devotional service.
Okay, well, both are right.
Okay.
That for one who is doing devotional service, already chanting, hearing, performing the bhakti yoga, then it's not necessary. But for the rest of the world, it's necessary. For those people who cannot take up devotional service, who cannot chant, who cannot follow the regulative principles, who cannot just surrender their lives, for them, Varnashram is very important. But Varnashram, as Prabhupada applied it, like whatever propensity you have, he doesn't force, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that. But whatever natural propensity you have, do that for Krishna. And you can advance. So people that are already in doing their duties, whatever they're doing. And we can't force them. No, your father was a barber, you should be a barber. Your father was a doctor, you should be a doctor. It doesn't work that way. You can see that in the West. And in India too. It doesn't matter what your father was, you should be an engineer or IT. If you're born in India. And if you're not, then you're useless. It's a waste of... it's very important to understand. For the devotees, it's not necessary for the devotees, although devotees do follow also, they do follow. They don't break the rules of Varnashram. They do follow it. But you have to be careful about how to apply the Varnashram. And some people apply it in very strange ways. I have heard one young girl got married, and the husband said, "Now you're following Varnashram, so you don't chant any rounds. I'm chanting all your rounds for you." So he's cutting off her relationship with the guru now. That's not Varnashram. The husband, he's supposed to deliver, but it's the guru's responsibility to deliver the disciple. When you take initiation, then it's between you and the guru. And they have different ideas of what Varnashram means. So we have to be very careful how to apply it. And not have the, like Prabhupada did, Prabhupada was very revolutionary. He didn't start with Varnashram, he started just chant Hare Krishna. And because of that, so many things developed, the ISKCON developed because of chanting Hare Krishna. Not because Varnashram. But there is a need for the whole world to be, accepted, engaged in devotional service. Not just us. Yeah.
I think my question was more towards the aspect of engaging people according to their natural propensities.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But within the spiritual context, following devotional service, engaging people according to their abilities and their nature itself. The little experience I have in ISKCON, I found that people tend to not be placed correctly.
Exactly.
And that's the biggest challenge. So I think from my personal little experience is that that aspect of Varnashrama...
So the devotees should also do according to their natural propensities.
Well, for sure, because there's a lot of challenges we face.
It's a little difficult, like for the Brahmachari Ashram, for example, or when you first join, like even everybody was washing the pots. You know, and that's not everybody's natural propensity. But, we have to discuss these things and see how it can be applied. One of the aspects of Brahmachari life is cleanliness, so that could be applying to Brahmachari. Any other questions or comments? Adi Purush, do you have something to say? No? Okay. Don't force him. This is not based on force. Any other questions? Okay, Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. We have more books here if anybody wants a book. And we have a full set of 13 books, which is picture for every verse of Bhagavatam. Canto 1 to Canto 10, Part 3. Hare Krishna.